This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Monday. Of course, we have all kinds of things. I can't wait. We're going to make fun of Gavin Newsom here in a few. We're going to get to a bunch of emails this hour. The Democrat shutdown. But none of that's going to happen right now. You know why? You know why? It's the start of hour two on Monday, and we always do the exact same thing. It's Medal of Honor Monday time. When somebody earns a Medal of Honor, they do a write-up on what they did. It's called a citation. You can read these by yourself. You don't need some special access code. It doesn't cost a dime. There are actually multiple websites you can go do this on. Go read these deeds. Remember the men. Remember their deeds. Talk about them. You can do this with your kids. You can do this with your class if you're a teacher. Your workplace. Do it in your workplace. These stories should be spread far and wide. You know what you could do? Here's an idea. Just putting it out there. Speaking of your workplace, you could take one of these citations. Maybe with the picture attached. Put it up in the break room. Switch it out every now and then. Every week, 2 weeks, throw a new one up there. This kind of thing is what helps our culture remembering these people. And of course, you know you can email us your love, your hate, your death threats. I'll get to those in a bit. But you can also email us Medal of Honor citations if you have ones that are special to you for some reason, a relative, a friend of a friend, a neighbor, or just maybe one you just like. We take all of them. We got this email about this one, as a matter of fact. Jesse, please consider a future Medal of Honor Monday for Corporal Jason Dunham. My brother-in-law, Jason Sanders, was with him when he gave his life to protect his fellow Marines. There is a recently released documentary, The Gift, that details the story. Thank you for your consideration, and God bless. So, born in CO, I think that's how you say that, CO, New York, in 1981, same year I was born, as a matter of fact, this is the Medal of Honor citation for United States Marine Jason L. Dunham.
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond, it's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty while serving as Rifle Squad Leader, 4th Platoon, Company K, 3rd Battalion, 7th Marines, Regimental Combat Team 7, 1st Marine Division, on the 14th of April 2004, Corporal Dunham's squad was conducting a reconnaissance mission in the town of Karabila, Iraq, when they heard rocket-propelled grenade and small arms fire erupt approximately 2 kilometers to the west. Corporal Dunham led his combined anti-armor team towards the engagement to provide fire support to their battalion commander's convoy, which had been ambushed as it was traveling to Camp Husabaya. As Corporal Dunham and his Marines advanced, they quickly began to receive enemy fire. Corporal Dunham ordered his squad to dismount their vehicles and led one of his fire teams on foot several blocks south of the ambush convoy, discovering several Iraqi vehicles in a column attempting to depart. Corporal Dunham and his team stopped the vehicles to search them for weapons. As they approached the vehicles, an insurgent leaped out and attacked Corporal Dunham. Corporal Dunham wrestled the insurgent to the ground and, and the ensuing struggle saw the insurgent release a grenade. Corporal Dunham immediately alerted his fellow Marines to the threat. Aware of the imminent danger and without hesitation, Corporal Dunham covered the grenade with his helmet and body, bearing the brunt of the explosion and shielding his Marines from the blast. In an ultimate and selfless act of bravery in which he was mortally wounded, he saved the lives of at least two fellow Marines. By his undaunted courage, intrepid fighting spirit, and unwavering devotion to duty, Corporal Dunham gallantly gave his life for his country, thereby reflecting great credit upon himself and upholding the highest traditions of the Marine Corps and the United States Naval Service. In peace, brother. Look, we like to think, I shouldn't say we like to think, but we think about older generations a lot. And when we look at the current state of our country, it's very tempting to fall into this trap of saying, all the good people are gone. All the heroes are gone. They all died in World War II. We don't have people like that anymore. We don't, those Vietnam veterans, we don't have guys like that anymore. We just don't, I wish we still had guys like that. It's very tempting to, no, we still have guys like that. They're listening, some of them, right now. They're in the Marines, they're in the Army, they're in the Navy, they're in the Air Force. We still have legions of young men like that who will do things like that if called upon. Now, let's pray they're never called upon. Right, but it's not what we want, because ideally, you want the Dunhams of the world, you want those guys, you want them to get married, make more Dunhams. That's ideally what you want, but they don't always get that. Sometimes they have to give the ultimate sacrifice, and those people still do exist. Remember that, all right? Let's do some emails. Hey, Jesse. I heard you mention San Francisco and the high crime. You linked it to their communism. I did a little research about crime in communist countries, and crime in communist countries is minimal, non-existent in North Korea. Is that because they skew their news and stats? Why does ours look different? Love you, brother. Keep your powder dry. Says his name is Rusty. Okay, so first of all, understand that theft is unbelievably common in North Korea, but it's a different kind of theft. Are they going to walk around the city streets kicking in your car window? No, because then they just pull your fingernails out and shoot you in the face. No, because they're starving to death. If you've ever read gulag stories from North Korea, concentration camps, whatever you want to call them, gulags, concentration camps, if you've ever done it, you'll see the worst of humanity. And it's because when people are put in impossible situations, specifically starvation situations, some human beings will shine like a bright light in those situations. But many, I don't want to say most, it's going to depend on the circumstances. Many people, they will become the worst version of humanity possible. And since North Korea starves its people, both the ones in the gulags and out of the gulags, theft is freaking everywhere. If your neighbor has an extra carrot and you have a chance, you steal it. I remember reading stories about the Holodomor when Stalin was starving all those people in Ukraine. Stories of, wrap your mind around this, how horrible this is. This is getting dark. Children would commit murder to get a loaf of bread to bring back to their families that were starving. 11-year-old boy walking a home with a knife, kill a mother to grab her food and go back so his family could live. So let's remember that this aspect of it. Street crime, you know, gangs and things like that. Yeah, that's not something that's going to exist in a place like North Korea, but there is still crime all over the place. It's the crime usually of theft. That you steal when you get desperate enough for food. Now that said, why is San Francisco different than North Korea? Drugs and poop and gangs and things like that. What is the difference? We'll talk about that. This Mamdani guy in New York City talking about closing Rikers Island. What? We'll talk about that. Before we get to that, and before we get to make fun of Gavin Newsom, let me save you a little bit of money. I know that you've already looked into Byrna, probably. Either you've bought one or you've already looked into one, especially now that they have a compact launcher that's the size of your smartphone. It's legal everywhere, all 50 states. No permit, no background check needed. 80% of the components sourced in the United States of America, and they're aiming towards 100, it's assembled in Fort Wayne, Indiana. American company that will save your life. Did you know right now they're having a black and orange sale? Their biggest sale of the year. 15% off site-wide. If you've looked into Byrna and you've been waiting for the sale is here. BYRNA. Byrna.com. Byrna.com. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Monday. Remember, you can email us your love, your hate, your death threats, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Going to clear out a lot of those today. We still have to make fun of Gavin Newsom here in a few, but I want to finish up on this email. The guy was asking, you know, what does San Francisco communism look like? All this crime and filth in the streets, but other places like North Korea, there aren't gangs and things like that. Remember, there are phases. There are phases. Think about children. Your children go through phases, don't they? When your children are born, they drink milk, mother's milk. Eventually, you start worming their way in. I guess worming probably isn't the way to put it. You start getting them onto some solid foods. One day, they're eating Kraft Mac and Weenies with you. It's glorious. Communism. You can't give a country communism all at once, or it would be rejected. The old system has to be broken down and burnt first. It's not something that can just happen. It has to be broken down and burnt first. That's why they are so busy torching everything, every single thing in sight. Why? I mean, they are dedicated to it. Dedicated all the way. In fact, Chris, I want you to play number 14. You know how we were just talking about all the illegals that have CDLs? California's handing out all these CDLs. Now we have all these illegals, can't read, speak, or understand English. They're out there driving on the highways. I want you to listen to the news report CBS did. Go.
Sikh truck drivers across the state of California are on high alert. They're the backbone of this industry. And when you look at the West Coast, they make up nearly half of all drivers. That's according to that industry leader based right here out of Lathrop. But after those two deadly crashes, many are left worried and wondering if they should keep driving.
The roadway risks for Sikh truck drivers is growing, heightened by two deadly crashes where undocumented Sikh drivers have been accused of causing the chaos in just 3 months.
They brought as many foreigners here as possible, gave them CDLs, and now the media is trying to protect them. Why is all this happening? Why do they let criminals out of jail? Why all this? This is the burn down phase. This is the destruction phase. We've talked about it many times before. When the Bolsheviks were in the middle of their revolution, trying to burn down the old system, there were all kinds of political prisoners in the prison, but there were also all kinds of rapists and murderers and thieves in the prison. They knew who the political prisoners were. They didn't show up at the prison in Russia and only let the political prisoners out. They showed up and let all of them out. But wait, there's more. They didn't just let them all out. They installed judges. None of this sounds familiar, right? They installed judges who would let those violent criminals off scot-free when they committed acts of violence. Why? It destabilizes and destroys a civil society. Society has to burn first. Famous communist quote, the worse the better. The worse the better. Now, what happens after the revolution is complete? And they're a long, long, long way from completing that revolution here in America, but God forbid, should they ever do it, what happens after the revolution is complete? Well, then all the criminals are taken out and shot. It's not just the criminals. It's the professors will be taken out and shot. In fact, Chris, grab that old Yuri Bezmenov clip, because the one where he talks about the professors and the journalists and the do-gooders, let me know whenever you have it. This is how it works. It's always in phases, and they know it has to come in phases. Right now, it's still the revolution phase, and because they pushed a little too hard, too fast on all the insanity, their revolution is having some hiccups, if you will. But remember, phases, phases, phases. Famous Soviet defector, KGB defector Yuri Bezmenov lays it out quite clearly here.
Ideological subversion is the slow process, which we call either ideological subversion or active measures, активные мероприятия in the language of the KGB, or psychological warfare. What it basically means is to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that despite of the abundance of information, no one is able to come to sensible conclusions in the interests of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country. It's a great brainwashing process which goes very slow, and it's divided in four basic stages. The first one being demoralization. It takes from 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation. Why that many years? Because this is the minimum number of years which requires to educate one generation of students in the country of your enemy, exposed to the ideology of the enemy. In other words, Marxism-Leninism ideology is being pumped into the soft heads of at least three generations of American students without being challenged or counterbalanced by the basic values of Americanism, American patriotism. The demoralization process in the United States is basically completed already. For the last 25 years, actually it's over-fulfilled, because demoralization now reaches such areas where previously not even Comrade Andropov and all his experts would even dream of such a tremendous success. Most of it is done by Americans to Americans, thanks to lack of moral standards. As I mentioned before, exposure to true information does not matter anymore. A person who was demoralized is unable to assess true information. The facts tell nothing to him. Even if I shower him with information, with authentic proof, with documents, with pictures, even if I take him by force to the Soviet Union and show him concentration camp, he will refuse to believe it.
That was the wrong clip, because Jewish producer Chris is stupid, but that was beneficial anyway. We'll get the right clip for you, and we'll play it for you in a moment. Before we do that, do you know the pain that comes with working with Chris? And the worst part of it is, it's pain even Relief Factor can't touch. You see, Relief Factor is there for your physical pain. The pain you're ignoring, or the pain you're trying to mask, you know, grabbing that bottle. Just stop doing that. Start taking a supplement every day, a drug-free supplement that helps support your body's natural response to inflammation. You do not have to live with back pain. You do not have to live with, oh, my head hurts all the time, my neck. But you do not have to live like this. Relief Factor is here for you. Give it a shot. 3 weeks of it is $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com and give it a shot. Or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. It will not help with working with Chris, but everything else it does. We'll get the right clip next. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Monday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Don't email me yelling me that the audio on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes is bad today. Like I said, we're having technical difficulties. It's going to be worked out. It'll be fine tomorrow. So if I don't sound normal and sultry like I normally do, that's why. It's not me. It's the microphone. I swear I don't have a cold or I don't know. I don't know what you're hearing. Either way, it'll be fine. Now, we actually dug up the correct clip. The other clip that we played was beneficial, but I was just talking about how the communist revolution goes in stages. Why is all this street crime allowed now when it doesn't look like that in North Korea? Well, you know what happens at the end, right? And look, I know it's a really, really dark thought, but I'll be honest with you. I'm just bearing my soul for you here. I've thought it. I think about all these street animals now, looting, burning, murdering, career criminals. I think about the disgusting media who helped them. I think about the professors who are in so many ways the authors of America's communist revolution. And then I hear this clip. It's a long one, by the way. I'm going to let it play. I hear this clip from Yuri Bezmenov, and it makes me smile.
Same thing was done under the guidance of the Soviet embassy in Hanoi, and same thing I was doing in New Delhi. To my horror, I discovered that in the files where people were doomed to execution, there were names of pro-Soviet journalists with whom I was personally friendly.
Pro-Soviet?
Yes. They were idealistically minded leftists who made several visits to USSR. And yet, the KGB decided that come revolution or drastic changes in political structure of India, they will have to go.
Why is that?
Because they know too much. Simply because, you see, the useful idiots, the leftists who are idealistically believing in the beauty of Soviet socialist or communist or whatever system, when they get disillusioned, they become the worst enemies. That's why my KGB instructors specifically made the point, never bother with leftists. Forget about these political prostitutes. Aim higher. This was my instruction. Try to get into large circulation, established conservative media, rich, filthy rich movie makers, intellectuals, so-called academic circles, cynical, egocentric people who can look into your eyes with angelic expression and tell you a lie. These are the most recruitable people, people who lack moral principles, who are either too greedy or too suffer from self-importance. They feel that they matter a lot. These are the people who KGB wanted very much to recruit.
But to eliminate the others, to execute the others, don't they serve some purpose? Wouldn't they be the ones they rely on?
They serve purpose only at the stage of destabilization of a nation. For example, your leftists in the United States, all these professors and all these beautiful civil rights defenders, they are instrumental in the process of the subversion only to destabilize the nation. When their job is completed, they are not needed anymore. They know too much. Some of them, when they get disillusioned, when they see that Marxist-Leninists has come to power, obviously they get offended. They think that they will come to power. That will never happen, of course. They will be lined up against the wall and shot.
Now, that leads me perfectly into making fun of Gavin Newsom, making fun of communists in general. You know how we always discuss how they lie like they breathe. They lie about everything all the time. Communists lie about everything all the time. We played you the clearly fake story. We now know it's fake of Memdani's aunt. But they were looking at her mean because of her hijab, but she wasn't even in America. Communists lie about everything all the time. Now, Democrats get caught doing something similar to this all the time. because they're liars. Gavin Newsom is running for president already. He's pretending like he's not, pretending like he's considering it. I heard him admit he's considering it. Yeah, Gavin Newsom is considering running for president the same way I'm considering eating something deep fried today. Come on. But Gavin Newsom goes on a black podcast. A couple black dudes sitting there. This is how it went.
It was also about paying the bills, man. And it was just like hustling. Mm-hmm. And so I was out there kind of raising myself, turning on the TV, started, you know, just getting obsessed, you know, sitting there with the, you know, the Wonder Bread and five stacks of, you know,
like the white stack bar story.
Come on. Macaroni and cheese.
Yeah. Man, I love, good, man. Bro. Yeah. Are you talking about me?
Young YG.
YG, but man.
Every day. Every day in the backyard.
Turn it off. He grew up in a wealthy California family. It's the ultimate preppy. Just a preppy dork rich kid. But he sits down with a couple black dudes. I'm hustling, yo. Just me and some Wonder Bread. Some mac and cheese. It's all fake. It's all fake. The kind of soulless people who can stare you in the eye and lie to you. But it's not. Remember, it's not just him. They ate it up. The recipients of communist lies eat them up too. They know their lies. I've. You know what? Here's another example of this. This Mamdani rally, Bernie Sanders, of course, shows up. AOC shows up. The crowd is up there chanting, tax the rich. But AOC's rich. Mamdani is rich. Bernie Sanders owns three homes. AOC gets up there, talks like this. Cut 10, go.
This city was built by the Irish escaping famine, Italians fleeing fascism, Jews escaping Holocaust, Black Americans fleeing slavery and Jim Crow, Latinos seeking a better life, Native people standing for themselves, Asian Americans coming together in Queens, in Brooklyn, in the Bronx, in Manhattan, in Staten Island, in this country, in a vision to build the freest, toughest, and greatest city on earth.
But she's rich. How are they saying tax the rich? The crowd knows. They know she's rich. They know Mamdani's rich. They know Bernie Sanders is rich. They're in on the lie. They know that the communist leaders are all rich, that they have to stand up and pretend to be poor and working class. The crowd knows. The speaker knows. They're all in on the lie. Every single one of them, their entire life is a lie. They wade into the lies because they're not worried about, remember, what works, what doesn't work. They're certainly not interested in what's best for the country. These thoughts cross your mind. These thoughts occupy your mind. You probably stress about them. These thoughts never cross these people's minds, not in the crowd, not on stage. They're just trying to burn everything down. That's it. Let's burn everything down. All right. We got IOU emails. I know that. We're gonna do a bunch of emails, talk about everything from remittances to AI to cheesesteaks. I just have some things I'm going to churn and burn through. Before I do that... The disconnect between mothers and teenage sons is something that I get to witness every single day. Just when I say disconnect, that's probably not fair. How different they are, and they're so different that it causes both of them pain and anguish, and it makes me laugh. I'll explain next.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, fantastic Monday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, and I'll start chopping away at those here in a few, but
I teased before we went to break. I just can't stop laughing about it. You know how I told you we had to go to Waco? This is earlier today we got home, but my son had a cross-country race. His state championship cross-country race was in Waco, Texas earlier. What I did not know is that there is a Dr. Pepper museum in Waco, Texas. Now, I'm not a big soda drinker. This, you know, I'm not some health freak, but the difference between me drinking soda and not drinking soda is 5 pounds. I've told you that before. And it's something I can easily lose. I'm not huge on sweets. So any small improvement in diet I can make, I lose it. Anyway, beside the point. But I've had plenty of Dr. Pepper in my life. I've had plenty of it. I don't understand why you would need a museum for it. I understand that it's been around for a while, but I guess I don't see why you need a museum. Either way, my youngest son is my clone. He even looks like I looked at that age. He's just like I am. And he also got from me, I guess maybe a cynical nature. Chris, would you call me cynical? Do you think I'm cynical? Don't say very. A simple yes or no would suffice. Anyway, he got my nature as well. And he also struggles the same way I struggle to have fun. Most things, I do not find them fun. And I don't love this about myself. I wished I hadn't given that to him, but most things, I don't know why. I just don't find them that interesting. Now, Aub is the opposite. She is the ultimate mom, and she finds things exciting and interesting. And while we were in Waco, I had to go do some other things for work, just recording some things and stuff like that at a local studio. So she was looking for something to do with Luke, and she made him go to the Dr. Pepper Museum with her, and she made him take a soda-making class. And I've never been, Chris. What do you mean, have I ever been? Why would I go? Don't tell me you've been to the Dr. Pepper Museum. Several times, you unbelievable loser. Why? What is in there? What? Why? There's no, when I asked why, you don't get to respond with, it's interesting. What's interesting? They make pop. I don't understand why that would be interesting at all. And I like Dr. Pepper. I don't need a history behind it. And they sell it in the gas station. I can get it at 7-Eleven. It's not a P-51 Mustang from World War II. I don't care about the history behind soda. It's really not that interesting. Anyway, she takes a soda class with him, and she texts me a picture this morning of them. And she's wearing, they're both wearing the paper like chef hats. And she has the biggest grin on her face. And he looks like he wants to swan dive off of a skyscraper. He looks so miserable, and it just kills me, man. I'm sorry. It kills me. Jeez. Anyway, you should give to Preborn and save a baby's life so they can also be dragged to the Dr. Pepper Museum with their mother one day. There are women out there right now, not yesterday, not tomorrow, right now. There are women out there ready to kill their babies. This is a sad aspect of the country we live in now, of the culture we have created, the pro-death culture. Why don't you help her choose life? Preborn and you can collaborate and save that baby's life. You give $28, Preborn uses it to give her a free ultrasound. You see, right now she's ready to get rid of a clump of cells. Once she hears that heartbeat, she knows that's not what it is. It's a baby. It's alive. She becomes a mom in that moment. Give that moment to her with Preborn. It's tax deductible. The end of the year is coming. You give them whatever you want. Give them a grand. Give them $2,000. Give them $20,000. Whatever you got. Tax deductible, man. You want to talk about a blessed gift, the gift of life. preborn.com/Jesse. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. All right? All right, let's do some of these emails. Jesse, I've heard you discuss taxation on remittances. What are remittances? Remittances are sending money back home. Foreigners coming here, earning money, and then sending that money back home. Now, it didn't used to be a problem. It's a problem now because we have allowed the country to be so full and disastrous. So let me explain in this way. A cookie. You like cookies? I'm a cookie man. What's better than a big oatmeal raisin cookie? The top of the cookie tree, Chris, a big, delicious, soft, gooey oatmeal raisin cookie. Okay? Now, are you in shape? Decent enough shape? If you said yes, is it the end of the world if you have dinner tonight? Maybe you get a little sweet tooth afterwards. You have a couple oatmeal raisin cookies. Pour out a glass of milk, couple cookies. Feel good. Is that the end of the world? My goodness, no. Live a little. Go have a freaking cookie. Now, let's say you're in terrible health. Maybe you are right now. Maybe you're too fat. Maybe you're diabetic. Maybe you're flat out obese right now. You can't have a cookie. Put the cookie down. Put the cookie down. Put your tennis shoes on. Go for a walk. So many things now are becoming problems because of where we are as a country. Things that maybe previously weren't a big deal. Things that have always existed. You know, people have always come here, worked various jobs, and sent some money back home. When that number is, okay, we're 300 million people. When that number is 5 million, that's a large number still. That's not a big deal. It's not the end of the world. It may not be great, but it's not the end of the world. When that number becomes 50 million, when that number becomes 20, 30% of the population, come here, make money, send it back to another country, rather than keep it circulating here, it becomes a big deal. We're obese. We're diabetic. The crackdown on foreigners, it has to happen. Even if it makes you uncomfortable. In a million different ways, it has to happen. All illegal immigration must stop. Mass deportation must happen. Legal immigration. Got to stop. It does. We have an hour left. Emails next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.